Well, good to see everyone here this morning. You know, last week I shared a message, and it was titled, "Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled." I believe it's a good message for this time, right? Let not your heart be troubled. And I opened it up basically saying that many of us are seeing all the things that are happening around us in our country, in our government, even all around the world, and many are disturbed and unsettled. There's some things going on. Many people have feelings of discouragement and even depression and just sadness, hopelessness over some things that are happening that aren't maybe not going the way that we think that they should go. Right, and so it's been a very emotional time. It's been a very dark time, and so last time I compared our current situation. We could always go to the Bible. Always go to the Bible. The things in Scripture are not there by accident. They're placed there for us today. They're placed there. So I was comparing our current situation to the very dark situation that the disciples were facing back in their day when Jesus walked this earth. They were facing a crisis situation there too. And so I was comparing our time to them. When Jesus was about to be betrayed by one of his very own disciples, that was the night before he was to be crucified. And so I was comparing this time to that. And so we looked last week at the instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples while they were going through that critical crisis, that dark time. We looked at what Jesus directed them, his instructions. And Pastor Ralph, he told them in John 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." So he was telling them, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be in fear because of the things that are taking place. That was a very emotional time for those disciples. Would you agree? That was a very emotional time for them. Here he was their Messiah. He wasn't supposed to die. He was their political hero who was, to come and help save them from, Roman rule, from these other rulers that ruled over them harshly. But here, they were about to face a crisis, and Jesus tells them not to let their heart be troubled. And so, and then he goes on to say in verse 2 and 3, we looked at that last week, he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would tell you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So that night, Jesus was preparing his disciples for a crisis, something that was going to be happening. The things are going to be happening that are not going to be, what they were planning on. And, some things are happening right now that we weren't necessarily planning on either. But Jesus is giving them instructions how to maneuver through that. So they're going to see Jesus beaten and scourged. They're going to see him hung on a cross. And then he tells them that they're going to be persecuted and that they're going to be hated because of him. His followers were going to be hated. But he tells them, don't be troubled. Don't be troubled, church. Don't be troubled. And then he turns their attention somewhere else, right in the midst of all of that. Right then, he tells them, turn their attention heavenward. He's saying, look up. Guys, look up. That's what he's telling his disciples to do in the midst of this crisis that they're facing. And so he tells them not to be worried, that they should place their focus on heavenly things as they go through. Okay? And so he tells them to focus on spiritual things, not on the earthly things. Keep your focus on heavenly things, not on these earthly things. These earthly things are temporary. They're temporary. And so he told them that he wasn't going to die and stay dead. He would live on, he would go to heaven, and that he would prepare a place for them to come and be with him one day. Okay? That's where the focus is. So Jesus was turning their attention heavenward. He's saying, look up, look up. I believe the instruction that Jesus gave to his disciples at that time apply to us during this time. I believe we need to also look up. We need to take his directions as we maneuver through these dark days. There is gross darkness, guys. Gross darkness in America. But we also got Jesus. Incredible light. We've got him. And so the darkness may have gotten a little bit darker on January 20th. But I tell you, Jesus' light shines brighter than any darkness. And so the light drives out the darkness. Jesus is telling us to walk through these trying times and to trust him through it all. He says, don't be worried. Don't be worried. Keep your focus on the prize. Keep your focus on the promise and not on earthly things. Put your focus on heavenly things that will encourage you as you walk through these things. So today, I actually want to begin to do something. I want to really be obedient to what Jesus gave in his instructions. I want to look at heaven. I want to put our focus on heaven. This is an introduction today. We're not going to get into the depths of it, but we're going to be studying heaven for several weeks. I've never been there. You know, when we go on trips, Gary and I, we bring pictures in of where we've been. I've never been to heaven, but Scripture does give us some insight into it. So that's what we're going to be looking at. I think we're going to do I don't know how long this series is going to be. I believe it's going to be several weeks. There's an awful lot on heaven. You know, not everything is in Scripture, that all the questions that we would like answered, but we do get some details in there. And so we're going to be obedient to Jesus' instructions during this time, and we're going to be focused on heaven. You know, maintaining a heavenly focus when you're going through dark times helps to keep us balanced, helps to keep us steady. It strengthens us and encourages us during some critical times, okay? And so recently, some very good friends of ours lost their 23-year-old daughter. She passed away unexpectedly during her sleep. They were not anticipating it. It wasn't on their radar. And so that was not something that they planned on. And you know, that wasn't supposed to happen. 23 years old, wasn't supposed to happen. The girl was perfectly healthy, as far as they knew. She was very athletic, very active. But after much vigilant prayer, to try to see their daughter come back to life. Much vigilant prayer by many all across this country. They got a prophetic word there. The daughter was living in California, and that's where her church was. And my friends got a prophetic word from someone in that congregation that said that their daughter chose to stay with Jesus. And so someone else came forth around that same time with another word, and they said they had a vision of their daughter, beautiful, beautiful in heaven, beautiful, wearing a long white gown, dressed like a bride, that she was beautiful. And so those words gave some comfort to my friends. They were somewhat comforted knowing that their daughter is in heaven. And so, you know, I've never been to heaven, But I can understand after reading scripture, after studying what God has revealed in scripture, that someone actually visiting there, someone actually seeing all that is in heaven, actually experiencing heaven, I can see that maybe someone might, you know, say, I want to stay here. I don't want to go anywhere else. This is it. I'm home. Yeah. And so, the scriptures don't tell us everything. All the questions that they might not have answers for all the questions that we have. The Bible does tell us a lot of things. It's not exhaustive, but it does give us enough information to know that heaven is a wonderful place. And so we're going to be looking at that. Scripture says that all believers in Jesus, all those who are born again, that's going to be their home one day. You know, there's no place like heaven. You know, I'm taking off of Wizard of Oz. There's no place like home. There's no place like heaven. Having the assurance that that their daughter is in heaven gave my friends supernatural peace in one of the darkest times of their life. While they were facing a crisis of their own, focusing on heaven is what brought them supernatural peace. I don't know how you could get through that any other way, guys. I don't know how you could. We have to keep our focus on heaven, no matter what is going on in this earthly realm. And so that's why I believe Jesus gave his disciples those instructions on the night before he was crucified. And so I believe that he's saying to us too, that if things get, you know, kind of scary around here or look like things that we don't want to be happening, that we need to keep our focus on heaven, keep them on heavenly things, not on these earthly things. And I believe that that will help us, that will encourage us to walk through, knowing that these things are temporary. They're just temporary. And so, but God's got us. He'll take us through it all. Remember the pollster George Barna? He does these polls. He tracks beliefs. He tracks worldview of Americans. Recently, he was asked how he felt that people how would people's faith bring them through this pandemic that we've been dealing with, you know? And so he didn't have a very positive outlook. And this is what he said. He said, because the trend that he's been seeing through all of his polls, seeing people's worldview and their faith, is that when crisis happen, they tend to focus more inward, looking to themselves for a solution, how to maneuver through this. During times of struggle, people get very emotional. They get very emotional when things are not going the way that they feel that they should. And so rather than looking upward and trusting God, they're trusting in themselves, they're trusting in government, they're not trusting in the Father. They're not trusting in God. So that was his negative connotation, that was his negative response. I believe that the scriptures that we just looked at are very encouraging to us, that no matter what we're going through, we need to keep our focus on God, on his word, on heaven, on heavenly things. We have to keep a heaven mindset as we go through them, especially during critical times, you know, things that we're facing now. And so in the scriptures that we looked at, Jesus assured his disciples that he was going to prepare a place for his disciples. He was going to prepare a place for them so that that they could be with him. And it was in his Father's house. He said, don't worry, guys, I got you covered. You're covered. God's got this. Just be looking forward to it. Keep your eyes on the prize as you're going through these dark days. Keep your eyes on the prize. So Jesus was encouraging his disciples. He said, don't be troubled. Don't be sad. Don't be depressed. If things aren't going the way you think that they should go, this is only temporary. If things here on earth, just get so bad, I want you to remember you have a heavenly place. You have a home. This stuff is temporary, but you have a home, a special glorious place waiting for you. So keep your focus on that as you maneuver through these times. You know, this world may be a dark place, but Jesus said, I have overcome the world. I have overcome. And we sang about that this morning. Thank you so much, Joanne. You know, Scripture tells us that Jesus was raised up from the dead and he ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God. We've looked, you know, in previous messages, we've looked at Scripture of eyewitness accounts who actually saw, those who actually saw Jesus when he was raised up and he was walking around this earth. We looked previously at Scriptures of eyewitnesses who actually saw Jesus being ascended. So we looked at some of those things before, but now I want to place our focus on heaven. We're focusing on heaven, okay? And so that's what Jesus told us to do. So I believe we'll be encouraged. You know, I've heard a lot of stories about people who've actually had near-death experiences and have gone on to heaven for themselves. I know we know someone personally who's actually died and gone to heaven and has returned to tell us about it. And so, you know, there are also several people in Scripture who have been eyewitnesses to heaven before they died. Remember Enoch. Remember Elijah. They were taken up into heaven. They didn't die. They didn't experience death. They were translated to heaven. Remember Paul. He had an encounter with heaven on the road to Damascus. If you remember that encounter. And again, he also talked about being caught up to the third heaven. Stephen, remember Stephen? The first martyr? Remember Stephen? He was martyed after he had addressed those who were accusing him of blasphemy, and he was standing there declaring very boldly about the things that he knew about Jesus, and heaven was opened up, that he could actually see heaven. He could see. He had a glimpse of heaven from earth. He had a glimpse of heaven. He could see that door was opened just before they stoned him to death. And remember the Apostle John. He recorded what he saw about heaven in the book of Revelation. So that those things are all recorded for us. That was while he was on the island of Patmos. So many people do believe that heaven does exist according to the polls that we see. But opinions of how one arrives there are very varied, very varied. So we're going to be looking at, this is kind of like an introduction. Those are the things we're going to be looking at as we go through this heaven series. I believe it'll be encouraging to each of us. And today is just the introduction to this series. As we begin the study of heaven, the first thing I want to point out is that heaven is a very real place. It's not a figment of our imagination. You know, a house is a place. Heaven is going to be our heavenly home. That is a place. Your house, you all have a home. It's a physical home. It's a place where you go. You when you leave here, you'll hopefully be heading towards that direction before the snow, you know, gets too wicked out there. But it's a place. Heaven is a real place too. It's real. Jesus said, "I go there to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you." So heaven is a very real place. Jesus went there to prepare a place. When he talked about his Father's house, he wasn't talking about a figment of his imagination. He wasn't talking about fantasy, but he was talking about an actual real location. The Greek word for place is the word tapas. Tapas. Tapas means a spot, a locality, a location, a place. An example would be a home, like we're talking about, or a room. It's a place, an actual place. That word is that's a root word for where we get our English word topography. you know, topography. Webster says that topography is the art of showing in detail actual physical land features. If you've ever seen a topographical map, it shows actual physical features of a place or a region on a map or on a chart. And so it's talking about something that is real. It's real. When that word topos is used in the New Testament, it almost always refers to a place, a locatable place, or an inhabited space. And so sometimes it refers to a city or a region. Sometimes it refers to an individual residence, like a room or a house. And that's how Jesus is using it here in John's gospel. But, you know, it's more than just this word topos that tells us that heaven is a real place. Jesus said in John 14:2, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Mansions. He's talking about mansions. He's going there to prepare a place for each of us. Mansions. That word for mansions in Greek is mone. The Greek word is mone. It means an abode. It means a mansion. It means a residence, a habitat. It means a lodging. It means a dwelling. Each of those definitions is talking about a tangible place, a real place. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." When he said that, the act of going and the act of preparing, he's doing something tangible. Something it's not intangible. In his going, Jesus had to go via the cross. He had to die. That was a real event. He was resurrected. He ascended into heaven. He ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives. He was at a literal physical location. As the apostles had witnessed. And he traveled from one geographical location to another. Look at Acts 1, verses 9 to 11 with me. Verse 9 says, "Now when he," this is talking about Jesus, "had spoken," he had spoken these things while they watched, "he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." So we got a little bit of a clue there. He was taken up. Verse 10, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" So those scriptures say that Jesus was taken up into heaven, a place. And the angels there said that Jesus would be coming back from that place in like manner at some future point. So heaven is a real place. Jesus went somewhere, okay? And so that's where he is now. It's a real place. It's a real location. That word heaven was used four times in those scriptures that we just read. And the word for heaven in Greek is ouranos. Ouranos. It means heaven. It means the abode of God. It means sky, air. The word heaven is used over 500 times throughout scripture. The Hebrew word for heaven is shamayim. Say that five times. Which also means the sky, air, heaven, or heavens. Okay? Those are the Greek and Hebrew words. I don't know if any of you have read this book. It's called Heaven is for Real. And the movie was awesome. It was awesome. So in his book, this is written by Pastor Todd Burpo. Okay, it's written by Todd. And he relays the story of when his almost four-year-old son, Colton, I think we have a picture. We have a picture of Colton. at that time. This is what he looked like. I mean, this is years gone by now, but this is what he looked like at that time. He had survived from a burst appendix. That was the situation that he was dealing with. He survived. And then within the months after that that ordeal, he began telling his parents about his trip to heaven. He was almost 4 years old. And so while Colton was on that operating table, this happened in March of 2003, March of 2003. His spirit was taken to heaven. His spirit left his body. And so he said he saw Jesus. He said he had angels singing to him. He heard angels singing. He goes on to say that he met other family members who had gone on to heaven before him, that he had never met. He had never met them before, like his great-grandfather and a sister who had died previously to him in a miscarriage. And he knew nothing about, he didn't know that there was a sister, but he met her in heaven. And so just powerful, powerful testimony. But Colton's parents realized that Colton was telling him the truth about the journey to heaven when he could give accurate details of exactly where his parents were in the hospital while he was in surgery. He knew where his parents were. He was there in the room. He could describe things, what was going on in that room. But he never left, his body never left that operating table. But he could describe, you know, what was going on there. He described what they were doing, yet he was never there physically because he remained on that, his body remained on that operating table. They further realized that Colton was telling them the truth about his journey to heaven when he relayed stories to them that were told to him by the people in heaven that he met, that he didn't know those stories. But the people that he met in heaven relayed some things to him. And so Colton was bringing some of those stories back. And so he shares those events. And all of those events happened before he was ever even born. He could not have known about them. He wasn't told about them. And he never met those people previously in life. And his parents said, you know, Colton at this point still hadn't learned how to read. But he gave interesting details about heaven that coincide with the Bible. They believe that their son, without any doubt, actually was visited heaven. He was in heaven. And so, Colton gives some descriptions about heaven, and I'll be using his book probably somewhat through this because I believe he was in heaven too. I truly believe that. So Colton said this. He was trying to express how much God loves us. That's what he got in heaven. How much God loves us. Keep our focus up. Look up, guys. If you're depressed around here, look up. God loves you. That's what God, that's what little Colton brought back to tell his parents. He got that in heaven. And he also described, he said that God is, quote, really, really big. Really, really big. Woo! and he said this too. He said, nobody is old in heaven. Nobody's old. Woo! We all get a glorified body, guys. All of us. Woo! I'll never forget when Gary's father and mother had passed away, and they were ripe. They were up there, you know, they were ready to move on. They were ready to move on. And so, but I wasn't sure about his mother. I felt that she was ready to move on, but I just wasn't 100% sure. I was like, God, can you give me confirmation? And the night that she passed away, I had a vision. It was so clear. And both his mother and father were running. Now they were 90 and 89, right? 88. They were running through this field in heaven, holding hands. They weren't shuffling along like he had been while he was on this earth. They were, and they weren't 90 and 89. They were awesome. It was just awesome. And that was comforting to this child back here. I know that that's where they are, and I'll see them again. Just very comforting. So I will be referring a couple of times during this series, I'm sure, to little Colton. I believe that along with his parents, that he actually did have a heavenly experience there. But what impressed me most about Colton and his family is their boldness to share the truth. They tell the truth. And so, they had not intended to write a book in their lifetime. That wasn't on their bucket list. They weren't planning. They didn't know how to write a book. But with all these events, how could they not? How could they not? So, when they experienced this this amazing, critical, yet very amazing event in their lives, and everything that unfolded, Colton's father, Todd, said that this whole experience of learning what happened to their son, it changed them. And this guy's a pastor. But that event changed him. And he said, it made me more bold. It emboldened them. And so I have a picture of Todd. That's Todd and little Colton right there. And this is what the father said. I think I had that on the next slide, Ralph. This is what he said. He said, we live in a day and time when people question the existence of God. As a pastor, I was always comfortable talking about my faith. But now, in addition, I talk about what happened to my son. It's the truth, and I talk about it, no apologies. We need boldness in our pulpits, guys. We need to continually pray for our pastors all across this land. They got to be bold with the Word of God. They got to be bold in this time, in this season that we are in. We need them to put on those black robes and stand up there and tell the truth. And so Todd Burpo is a little bit coming out of his shell. He's going to be, bold here. And so, and when the family decided that this book should be written, they decided as a family about Colton's experience, each family member came up with a possible title for that book. They all had their own opinions about what it should be called. So this is a family thing that they're doing. Todd suggested, this is the father. The father suggested a title of Heaven by Four. Because Colton was not quite yet four. So that was the title that he thought the book should be, that Colton went to heaven before he was 4 years old. Heaven by Four. And his wife, Sonia, suggested the title Heaven According to Colton. That's cute. I mean, that's a cute title. Colton's sister suggested this one. He's back, but he's no angel. I like that one. I like that one. But it was Colton who eventually, ultimately came up with the best title. Around, this was Christmas time, now this would be in 2009, okay? The family had taken a trip to Texas, and they were going to meet the editor for that book. They're going to meet the editor. And so they met at a Starbucks in Dallas, Texas, and they were sitting around the table, and the editor looked across to Colton and asked him this question. She said, Colton, what do you want people to know from your story? And without hesitation, he answered her, I wanted them to know that heaven is for real. Hence the title of their testimony, Heaven is for Real. It's an awesome book. We're not selling this book, but it's awesome. It's a fabulous testimony of what I believe actually happened to a little boy named Colton. And so that was the title that they came up with. Because they wanted people to know the truth, that heaven is a real place. It's for real. And so we had looked earlier at Acts 1:9 that said that Jesus was taken up. He was taken up. Verse 10 said that the apostles watched as Jesus went up. And then verse 11 said that the angel said that Jesus was taken up into heaven. Okay, so from the definitions of heaven that we looked at earlier, and from these verses that reveal, they reveal the direction of heaven. At least we know which way it goes, right? Heaven is up. It says that Jesus ascended. He ascended. So we can conclude that heaven is up, right? Sky is up. Air is up. Heaven is up. Okay? So the direction of heaven is upward. So Jesus was telling his disciples, don't place your focus here. Place it upward, heavenly. Place it on heavenly things. And the Apostle Paul described Jesus as the one who descended and as being the same one who also ascended. Okay? Ephesians 4:10 says, this is Jesus talking, it's talking about Jesus. He, Jesus, who descended, Paul is saying Jesus descended, he's also the one who ascended. Notice where he was ascended to, far above all the heavens. We sang about that earlier today too. Thank you, Joanne. Spot on. Good. Thank you. Above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. So Jesus descended from heaven. He walked the earth. He was crucified. He descended into hell. He rose from the dead, and he ascended far above all the heavens. So we know he went up. And then 1 Corinthians 15:47 says, this is Paul saying, he said, the first man was of the earth. The first man. He's talking about the first Adam. The first Adam was made of dust. The second man, he's talking about the second Adam, Jesus, is the Lord from where? From heaven. From heaven. Okay, so Jesus descended from heaven. He came from heaven, and then he ascended to heaven after his mission on earth was accomplished. And then in John 20:17, Jesus says this to Mary. If you remember, after he was raised from the dead, and she was searching for him at the tomb, if you remember, John 20, verse 17, Jesus said this to Mary, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." So Jesus himself said that he was ascending to his Father who is in heaven. Ascending is going up. So we're just laying groundwork today, guys. This is just our introduction. And so the next scripture I want to look at is Ephesians 1:20. This says that, you know, God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Far above, okay? So Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heavenly places. A heaven is far above, above the earth. God is there and Jesus is there. And so Satan also had some comments. Now, we don't always want to listen to Satan, right? Because he's the father of lies. But in this particular instance, what he says happens to coincide with Scripture. So in Isaiah 14:13, this is what Satan says. He said, I will ascend. I will exalt. Remember, Satan was cast out of heaven, right? So I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Okay? Whew. Ascend and above the stars, they all indicate heaven's direction, right? It's upward. Jesus is telling his disciples, focus on heavenly things. Keep your focus upward. One good friend of ours, his name, he happens to be a prophet, is John Mark Poole. And how many of you were there at the meeting this summer? Awesome. Okay, wonderful. We may be entertaining him again this summer. Who knows? But that place over there has just been awesome for us to be able to meet. We're thankful for that during this COVID time. And so our friend John Mark has visited with us several times, and Gary and I, you know, we're fortunate enough in our position that we're able to actually sit and meet and talk with these amazing people, you know, over dinner. We feed them, we invite them into our area here. And so he was able to share privately some things with us, you know, about his trip to heaven. And he also has written a book. And his book, I don't know if whoever has it, it's called Path of a Prophet. And in here he talks about, you know, how God called him to be a prophet. It's a very interesting book. And so, but he shares in the book, you know, how things in his life, you know, weren't, you know, going so well. They weren't going so great. His personal life really was kind of a mess. And then he winds up in an emergency room on an operating table at some point. He didn't know what was going on with him. He was very sick. And so he actually has to go to the hospital. And at the point of death, his spirit left his body, but he was still there in that operating room. He could see everything going on. And when that happened, he said, all the medical personnel, they got all excited. And he didn't know what they were all excited about, because he said, I feel no pain. He didn't feel any, he felt great. He didn't know what all the excitement was about. And he kept trying to ask them, what's the deal? What's going on? Why are y'all excited here? I'm fine. They were all excited because he died. And so, but nobody answered him. They couldn't hear him. He was in a different dimension, a different realm. But his spirit was there in that operating room. And this is what he said. He said this. He felt as if I was being raised upward. Oh, that's a picture of John Mark. He felt as he was being raised upward and onward. He said the movement upward, he was trying to tell us what it was kind of like. He said it would be comparable to taking an open cockpit helicopter ride above the immediate area. Just raising up into that open cockpit helicopter. He said, that part was fun. That was fun. Once I kept moving upward, I felt very peaceful. He felt peace. But then he said, you know, he was being raised upward. Now, he used that word upward three times there. Three times. Then he shares how he moved through an area of darkness. In the heavenlies, where there were battles taking place. And so he said that he knew immediately that God's warring angels were there in that dark area, battling against demonic beings. He even describes the beings in his book. he said the warfare became intense, but as he continued upward, he kept moving upward, he moved upward above that realm of warfare, up above that, okay? That coincides with Ephesians 1:20 that we looked at earlier, far above principalities and powers and, you know, power and might and dominion. So that coincides with what we see in Scripture. And he said he found himself standing before a 40 to 50-foot tall gate. And the gate was made out of mother of pearl. Solid mother of pearl. Scripture aligns with that. And then he said, once inside the gate, John Mark said he noticed that he was standing on a street. He was on a street, and the street was approximately 18 to 24 inches thick. And he said it was made of pure gold. So it was so pure, he said, that you could, it was translucent, like you could see through it. But it was pure gold. He said it was transparent, like golden honey. If you can picture honey, you know, you can. It's translucent, and you can see through it. And you know what? The Apostle John describes in Revelation 21:21, a similar description. He says, John describes what he saw when that door was opened for him to see. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. The gates were made of pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. That had to be some mighty large pearls. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. John Mark Poole said that when he was inside this city, he realized this was heaven. He was in heaven. That's he first got the clue that he was in heaven here. And so he said it was so beautiful, he found it very difficult to come up with words to describe it. And so he said that while he was in heaven, he was greeted by his brother. His brother had died in a car accident when he was, I think, just 8 years old. And that was before John Mark was born. John Mark never met his brother. He was meeting his brother in heaven, and his brother identified himself. He was meeting his brother in heaven, but he only knew about his brother Stanley because when John Mark was little, he found this toy that he had never seen before, and he started playing with it. And his mother saw him playing with that toy. He said, "You can't play with that toy." And John Mark asked why. "That belongs to your brother Stanley. That's your brother's toy. She wouldn't allow him to play with that toy." And his mother never talked about Stanley. So John Mark knew he had a brother, and he never met him, never saw any pictures about him, didn't know who he was, but he's meeting him here in heaven. Stanley identifies himself. And Stanley gives John Mark some directions. John Mark has a lot of questions while he's up there, you know? And so Stanley answers a lot of his questions. And Stanley tells him that John Mark was brought to heaven to receive a direct message from God. And Stanley was the one who was to give him that message. Stanley gives him the message, and he tells John Mark, "You can't stay here. You know, you have a job to do back there. You got to go back home." Now, I'm sure if John Mark, you know, he's seeing what he saw, he may have wanted to stay there. But he knew, he got the word from God. He had a job to do back here. He was to fill the shoes that God wanted him to fill as a prophet. So he needed to come back and do that job. But before John Mark leaves heaven, he asks his brother about all those cities that he was flying over. All those cities that he saw that were brilliant. They were brilliant. They were beautiful. They were huge. One right after another, right after another. He said, "What were those cities?" And his brother laughed at him. He laughed and said, "Brother, those aren't cities. Those are mansions. Those are mansions." And so John Mark realized that those were the mansions that Jesus talked about in the scripture that we saw earlier, John 14:2. "In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." So those mansions are the dwelling places that Jesus told his disciples that he was going to prepare for them. John Mark got to personally see those mansions while he was in heaven. I believe that John Mark actually did have a near-death experience there, did go to heaven, and he was there to get his assignment because he wasn't listening so good while he was here on earth. So John got his personal message from God. And his book is amazing. When he comes, he usually brings his book, and you can purchase it. That's how I got my copy. I'm sure you can get it right through his website. I'm sure he probably has it. I don't know if you can get it, you know, anywhere else, but it's worthwhile to read. If you just read this section of his visit to heaven, it's incredible, just incredible. So today is just an introduction to heaven. We're going to have a whole lot more with the weeks coming. My husband said, keep it short. Snow's coming. Get people out of here in this noon. So I'm excited to look forward, you know, to what we're going to be learning about heaven, which will one day be every one of our homes. Everyone who's born again in here will experience what John Mark and what little Colton experienced. We're going to be experiencing that as well. So I believe that we will be encouraged by keeping our focus heavenly, not on the things that are happening around us that I remind you are only temporary. Only temporary. All right? So we're going to close in prayer. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for this insight that you give us to our heavenly home. Lord, I've never been there. But Lord, I stand and testify to your truth, to your word. Lord, I thank you that you have already gone before us and you have prepared a place for us. Lord, I thank you that you so chose to leave those instructions in this word for us to follow as we face some difficult times, just like your disciples did, some dark times, some challenging times. Father, I thank you, Lord, that Jesus went to the cross to die for us, that whoever believes in him, whoever receives what he's done for us, paying for our sin debt, Lord, washing us white as snow from those sins that we had partake of as well. Lord God, I thank you for washing us as white as snow so that we too can look forward to our heavenly home. Thank you, Father, for your words of life in your scriptures today, Father God. I thank you that as each one leaves from this place today, that as they go through this week, whatever trials, whatever things they watch on television or in the news, Lord God, that they are reminded that these things are temporary and that our focus needs to be on heavenly things because you've ordered us to do that. And we're obedient to your word, Lord God. So thank you for this awesome opportunity to declare heaven is real, to share heaven with our congregation, with our church family, Lord, as we delve into scriptures and learn more about how wonderful this place is that you've prepared for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you. Thank you, Lord. But we thank you also, Lord, that you said that heaven is within us, right here on this earth. And that those who have heaven inside them, those who have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead inside them, They can release that to others around them. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can be your lights. We can be the vessels that you flow through to impart light and health and healing and victory to those in this world, Lord God. What an awesome opportunity, Lord. So right now, I want to open up this sanctuary for those who might want prayer. I'm going to ask our prayer warriors to come up. Those of you who would like to pray, put on your masks, you know, just to be considerate. Lord, we just desire to see heaven manifested right here on this earth. You were an awesome testimony to us, Father. And you, Jesus, you live in us. So we thank you, Father, for all that you do in this time, in this period, and throughout this whole message series on heaven. Thank you, Father, for helping us to look up when we go through our weeks, Lord, and we might feel weak. We might feel like, you know, all the air's been left out of our balloon. Lord, you say we're to look up. We're to keep our focus on heavenly things, not on these earthly carnal things that are only temporary. So we thank and we give you praise, Lord, for victory. You have already overcome this world, Lord God. And we thank you that you use us as overcomers as well. We're about your business, Father. So we thank you for your anointing on this time. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.